If you know, I'm so thankful for everyone that helped out and pulled off a tremendous service I heard last week. And so I know Pastor or Bishop Bill Reed is not here with us, but I'm very grateful for him. And I know that he brought you guys a great word. Amen. Somebody asked me, they said, Pastor, what do you do on vacation on a Sunday? Here's what I did. I went and visited the Green family. The Green family. They didn't treat me too well. Ended up seeing the Bunker family a whole lot. Some of you don't get it. Ask your neighbor. You'll get it later. All right? Man. We've been in this series called God With Us for the last several weeks as I've been speaking to you. And you have a outline in your bulletin, but that outline is no good today. All right? I have to tell you, last night I completely changed the message up. Stressed Joe out completely this morning, and I love doing that to Joe, and it was great. So I have a brand new message for you today, still staying within the parameters of this title called God With Us. Isn't this the greatest season right here to celebrate? Amen. Isn't it full of joy? Hey, look, you're around family that maybe sometimes it's been a long time since you've been around that family. That is awesome. You know, you're around friendship and you know, whole kinds of awesome things happen during this Christmas season. Everybody loves a good party, right? Everybody loves food and more food and even more food, right? How about the Christmas cookies? Thank you, Jesus, for Christmas cookies. Especially, I don't know what they're called, but they're the sugar cookie with the Hershey Kiss down in the middle. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever they're called, they're amazing, all right? But anyway, we're going to go off of the same verse that we've been going off of for the last several weeks in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And this is really, it's been our anchor verse for this sermon series. And it says this, look, the virgin is going to what? She's going to conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and what are they going to call him? Emmanuel. And what does that word mean? What does the word Emmanuel mean? It means this, what? God is with us, all right? So in other words, we're talking today about a presence of God in what is considered a different season of life, because you and I, we experience God simply like this in different ways, all right? Based on what's going on in our life around us is how we would define how we are or how you may be experiencing God. The first week we talked about the presence of God in the valleys. We learned that this key principle that we may enjoy what God on the mountaintop, but we also know that we intimately get to know God in the valleys. The second week we talked about God in the wilderness. We learned that God often whispers to us. And why does God whisper to us? Simply this, because of this principle. He's close. We have so many other things that are yelling and screaming at us through society, through the world, social media, and whatever it is that you get yourself wrapped up and involved in. But when you really want to hear that voice of God, you can hear that what? Still, small voice. My favorite scripture in the Bible, Psalms 46:10. What does it tell us? It says, be still. I think it's probably my favorite because it's the hardest thing for me to do, is to simply be still. Do I have anybody in here driven so much that you can't stand to sit down for more than 10 minutes, right? Yes. You're constantly on the go. You're constantly wanting to go. You miss a lot when you're constantly moving. You know that? I remember speaking to many times with Reverend Crowley, and he would say, sometimes, Kevin, you got to just sit back, relax, watch, and observe. You'll learn a lot. Well, apparently I'm pretty spiritually dumb then, because I can't just sit back, relax, watch, and observe. You know what I mean? I've got to be constantly in emotion. But we learn so many different things in so many seasons of our lives. But week two, we looked at that, you know, we talked about God who was in the wilderness, and he whispers to us. And one of the big principles there is that we learn this, our deepest need, watch this, becomes a gift that drives us to depend on God. Probably never thought of it that way. your deepest need. What is it? It's that thing that's driving you into prayer. It's that thing that just drove you in here today. It's that thing that's causing you to repeatedly stay in God's word. You know, I love it when with Paul. Paul mentions that he had a thorn in his side, so to speak. Now, the Bible doesn't clearly tell us what that thorn was, but we do know this, that repeatedly he continued to pray, God, remove this thing from me. And as you read in scriptures, you learn this, that Paul eventually gave up on praying for God to remove it simply because of this. It's the thing that kept him closest to God. Sometimes we look at those valleys and we look at those wildernesses that we're going through and we dread them. We don't want them. We don't anticipate them. We don't want those things in our lives. We don't want those seasons, but watch this. They're necessary often to keep us close to Him. Now, today what I want to talk about is God's presence within the storms. We've all heard these sayings before. You're either coming out of a storm or you're in the middle of the storm, or watch this, or there's a storm just around the corner. In other words, life can be difficult. Pastor, that's not encouraging. I came here today to hear a Christmas message. Come tomorrow night, you'll hear more of a Christmas message. You're going to get something that's been kind of stirring inside of me here. That's not encouraging. It seems like we're either what? Coming out of a difficult time, or that we're in the middle of one, or watch this. We're about to enter into a season that we would not be ecstatic about, that we would not be excited to go into. Often we say this when we're in storms. Where is God with you in the midst of a storm? Unfortunately, some of you right here this morning, you potentially could be living right in the middle of a storm. You may say things like this. I wish that I could get through this storm of what? Divorce. I wish I could get through this storm of depression. I wish I could get through this is a big one at this time of the year, this financial storm. I wish I could get through this relational storm. Watch this. I wish I could get through this spiritual storm. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of us, when it comes to God, we often blame Him when we go through these seasons, when we go through these storms. We'll question like this, where is God? Have we ever done that before? Have you ever been in a moment where you said, God, where are you? I'm not feeling you. You feel so distant from me. Where are you? I'm in a service, I can't feel you. I get into my word and I feel like I'm just reading words. I spend time in prayer and it's become just repetitive, right? We'll question that. We'll ask God, where are you in it? Or we'll say this, why? Why, God, are you allowing this to happen in my life? Why, Lord, are you allowing these difficult seasons? Why are you allowing me to be in it? God, don't you love me? Right? Don't you care for me? Like you say, if you cared for me, God, you wouldn't put me in this situation. You wouldn't allow me to be here. Here's my thought. This is my biggest key thought for you today would be this. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Let me repeat that again to you. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a story and a passage in Acts chapter 27. And that's probably where we'll spend most of our time this morning. In this area. But what I want you to understand here is there's some men who are in a boat and they're in the middle of a massive, crazy storm. The storm went on for several days. They were terrified. They started throwing cargo overboard and they just believed that the storm was going to take them out. All right, it was going to be bad. The ending was not going to be well for them. That this was a storm that they thought that they would not survive. So here we go, Acts chapter 27, verse 20. This is what the scripture says. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging. Now, I wonder how many of you would use that phrase for something that maybe you're going through right now. Sometimes when we go through these seasons, these storms of life, and I'm even going to say when we go through the valleys, when we go through the wildernesses, and then now maybe as we're talking about this topic, when we're going through storms, we want it to get over a lot faster than maybe it is intended for. It's kind of like this: God, I'm up for a good storm. Let's make it for a day, though. Let's make it for a day. I can handle stress for a day. Teach me what I need to know in a day, God. I don't need to go days. I don't need to go weeks. I don't need to go months. And I hate to say this. I don't even need to go years in this storm. God, you created everything in 7 days. Why can't you take me through a storm? Or actually six, right? Seventh, what did he do? He rested. You corrected me. Good job. I looked at your face. You're like, huh? But God, if you could do all of that, why is it necessary that I have to go through such a long period of time sometimes when I'm going through these difficult seasons of life? Is anybody in here stubborn? Don't look at your spouse. Don't elbow them. Just fess up, all right? You're stubborn. I've got a son named Caden who is so stubborn. I mean, how stubborn is he? I don't have one for you, man. I wish I did. I tell you what, when you see him after church, go up to him and start to say hi and see what he says to you, all right? He'll say this: don't talk to me. That's what he does. But we are stubborn, right? Some of us are stubborn more than others. Why are we that way? I have no idea. I don't understand the makeup of why we are the way we are. Good thing we're not cookie cutter. The world would be very boring, all right? So we're all made up differently. But we become stubborn, and sometimes in order for our attention to be grasped, we have to go through things longer than maybe someone else has to go through, you know? But I love this here because it says in the scripture, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging. Now, just think about this for a second. If all we had was overcast days on end, that would get incredibly depressing, would it not? Thank you. Amen. It would. We would not be happy. The sun comes out. Oh, we're all joyful, aren't we? You know? All right, so let's continue in this scripture. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging. Many of you are in that season right now in your life. You're going through a trouble. Some of you lost a loved one, and this is not an easy season. I get it. I completely understand. You're missing them. Some of you, you're in relational and it's the outbursts and it's just not working financially. You're overwhelmed. And it feels like this season just cannot get over with. Watch this. So it says that we finally gave up all hope of being saved. In other words, what did they do? They gave up. We don't know what else to do. Everything around us is looking grim. The storm is raging on. This has been for days now. We don't even see the sun anymore, right? It says that they gave up all hope. Verse 21. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul, remember this is the Apostle Paul, he stood. Now this is funny, kind of. If you're them, it's not funny. But if you're us, this is funny, all right? This is what? After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Now, how many of you in that moment, let's be honest, you would just love to slap Paul right upside his head? Right? Have you ever been in something and you're with somebody, you know, you're with a group of friends or, you know, your spouse maybe, and you make a decision and they go, I tried to tell you not to do that. Yeah. Right? If you would have taken my advice, this would never would have happened. Now, that's me. That's me. I got to be honest with you here. I do that. Me and Andrea will be making a decision, and I'll give out my opinion, and then she'll go the opposite. I promise, sometimes she does it on purpose. She does it. She does it just to irritate me. Her mom and dad are over here. I've got to be really quiet on that or careful. All right, and so something will happen. The boys will explode, and I'll say, "I told you that was going to happen. I told you that was going to happen." And then later on, everything calms down. They're having a great time, and she goes, "And I told you that was going to happen." Yeah, so that's how it goes, right? So here you've got Paul. Can you throw that back up, please? Thank you. Here you've got Paul. He says, after they had gone a long time without food. Now, these guys, they're in a storm. There's no sun. It's raging. They're hopeless. They're to the point now, they're not contemplating on how to get out of this mess. They go, it's over. I just can't do this no more. Can't go through this sickness any longer. I can't go through this relationship anymore. It feels like spiritually I'm dying. See, some of you, that's where you're at. Some of you, that's a battle that you've been dealing with for some time. You've been struggling. I can't deal with this job anymore. I don't know where to turn. I don't know. I feel like my friends have all left. I don't know what's going on. But watch this. He says, he stood before them, said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Men, you should have taken my advice. I love that. And he says, then you would have spared yourself this damage of loss. So here you got Paul, regular guy. As spiritual as he was not above doing what so many of us love to do, and that is telling people what or when they are wrong. Paul in this moment is saying, I tried to give you direction. I tried to help you out, but you ignored me. And now because you ignored wise counsel, look where you are. Some of you, myself included, in different seasons of my life, have looked for wise counsel with people. You have gone to them, those who you trust spiritually. And you have been given great advice and wisdom. And what do we do a lot of times? We get wrapped up in what our own thinking and our own frame of mind, and we go with our own opinion. You know, some of the greatest decisions that can be made in your life are the decisions that you're not making yourself. Because sometimes we need that third person looking in. God brings people in our lives for a reason. I love it. There's certain aspects in the Bible where we see where God shrinks up that circle of influence. Where some friends aren't needed during that season, and whereas other friends are more needed. But in this moment, Paul is saying, look, I told you so. If you would have done what I said, you would not be in this mess right now. Now, Paul, being a regular guy, telling them all of this, he says, ultimately, why are you in this storm? Why are you where you are right now? So if he's asking them that, essentially, he's also asking us, why are you in the storm that you are presently in life? Is it decisions of other people? Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Sometimes there's moments within our lives that we don't understand, but we get caught up into something, and it truly wasn't our fault. We've all been there before. But there are also those moments where we are is simply because of our own choices. Watch this. Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because you spent too much money. Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because your emotions got the best of you and you said something you shouldn't have said. Amen. We can all say that one, can't we? Right? You get in an argument with somebody and you rattle the first thing off of your tongue, and then like 3 seconds later, that's going to come back and get me later. I'm going to really regret that conversation. Sometimes you're in the middle of the storm because you procrastinated and put it off. Don't look. Don't look. I saw some of you look. Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because everybody else told you not, watch this, to be with that person. Your mama told you not to be with that person. Your father told you not to be with that. Watch this. Your pastor said run. Your best friend didn't like them, but yet you said, you know what? I can change them. That's a little dating one there for all you single people, all right? Sometimes, though, you're in the middle of the storm because it's simply not your fault. Maybe that's why we give up, because it's not our fault. I don't know about you, but it's easier for me to believe that God will get me out of a storm when God got me into the storm than it is for me to believe that God can get me out of a storm when I put myself in the storm. Can I say that one more time? Maybe you didn't quite catch that. It's easier for me to believe that God can get us out of a storm when God places us in the storm than it is for us to believe that we put ourselves in the storm. What I love about this whole thing about God, it doesn't matter who put who in the storm. His presence as Emmanuel is what? God with us. That's the only thing that truly matters. You're going to make poor choices. Before you go to bed tonight, some of you are going to make a poor choice. You're going to get up, caught up in an argument. You're going to purchase something you shouldn't have purchased. You're going to say something you wish you wouldn't have said. You're going to think something. You're going to place yourself in an environment that is going to lead you to do something that you should not be involved in. But know this, regardless, God is what? As a Christ follower, God is with us. And what does that result in? What kind of resolve does that bring to you and I is this. No matter where I am spiritually or physically, knowing that God's presence is with me, it's all that truly matters. Now that doesn't give us an excuse to go, well, because God's with me, I can do this, I can do that, I can do, no. We still have a responsibility. If you're going to allow yourself to be caught up in an environment that's going to cause you to fall, that's your fault. That is your storm. Doesn't mean that God's left you, but it does mean this. You have a consequence that you're going to have to go through. Now, how many of you have ever been in the middle of a storm and it wasn't your fault? You trusted someone. They may have given you their word. You believed them for what they said. You thought that they would do what they said they would do, and they didn't deliver. So you're in the middle of the storm. Sometimes it's so easy for you and I to give up hope. But leaning back on this one truth, and never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt, simply this, the presence of God. Now, let's go into verse 22. He says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage. In other words, he's saying here, keep your courage, keep your faith. The storm is not going to take you down. He goes on to say in the scriptures, keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Verse 23 goes on to say, last night, this is Paul speaking, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Now stop there for a minute. Here you have Paul, he's in this boat with these other guys. He's already given them sound advice, said, this is what you need not to do. We don't need to go out here. We don't need to get involved in this. But yet, they still do, and they go out. And when he goes out, or they go out, what happens? A storm comes, and the Bible says it's raging. We don't know how horrible it is. We just know it's raging. And it's lasting for days. So much so that what are they doing? They're throwing everything they can over the sides. They're trying to get everything they can so they don't sink. So they're throwing everything over. And they get to the point where I've done enough. I've done all that I can physically do. You know what I'm going to do? I give up. I don't know what else to do. And so Paul creeps up and he says, what? I told you so. If you would have just listened to me, if you would have just listened to what I had to say, you would not be in this predicament right now. If you would have just listened to the wise counsel that was right before you. I can look over many events that have happened in my life where I went through storms because of decisions that I made and did not listen to wise counsel. If I were to ask and get a survey across this room, I would say almost everyone in this room would throw your hand up and say, I've been there. I know what that's all about. The irritating part, though, in the scriptures where Paul goes, I told you so. We don't ever want to hear that, do we? We don't like that part. It's funny to read there, but it's not funny to experience it here. But he says, I told you so. And then he goes, he's like, look, don't lose heart. All right. An angel came to me. I had a dream. An angel stood before me. All right. He says this. Paul says, an angel of the Lord stood beside me in the middle of the storm. In other words, never let the presence of the storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. That's our key point here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. Paul here tells Timothy this. Everybody else deserted me. No one, in other words, no one stood by me. Everyone else deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Why am I bringing that up? This is a different passage of Scripture. Why am I bringing this passage of Scripture up? It's simply this, because whether you're in the middle of a storm right now, or whether you just came out of one, or whether there's one right around the corner, you need to understand this. You are not alone. You're not alone in this battle. You're not alone in this valley. You're not alone in this wilderness. You're not alone in this storm. Because we understand that who is he? He is what? Emmanuel, meaning this, God with us. He's with you. He's with you when it's going great. He's with you when it's just going. And he's with you when everything seems to be falling apart. God is still with you. Now, there's something really encouraging here, and I'm going to get into it here in just a second. But what I want you to understand is what David said in Psalm 16 and 8. He says this, I know the Lord is always with me. He goes on to say, I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. You need to hear that. David is in a desperate moment right here. He's in a season of turmoil. He's in a valley or a wilderness or a storm, as we're talking about today. And yet he says, I will not be shaken because I know who is with me. We understand in Psalm 23, he talks about the Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. Not that he won't want, it's that he has no want because the Lord is with him. He's there to what? Comfort, to lead, to guide. His presence, if it was not for the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, where? Let me challenge you to that. Where would you be today? Who is he? Emmanuel, God with us. Now, we understand here in John 16 and 33 that we do know this, that there's going to be trouble. You're going to go through struggles. You're going to go through seasons of life where things just don't always work out. John 16, 33, Jesus gives us a very clear promise here. He says this. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. That's a promise from Jesus. That's a promise that we could do without, isn't it? Lord, I don't need to hear that one. I don't want that scripture. You know, I don't want that one to be a promise within us. But Jesus clearly says, he says, look, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, he said, for I have overcome, what? This world. Real peace is not found in the absence of trouble. Real peace is found in the presence of Jesus. Simple as that. That's where you are fully peaceful within your life. That is when you are fully happy in your life, is when Jesus is with you. Now, looking at verse 23 here in our scripture that we were looking at, it says, verse 23, last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. In other words, you can't go down in this battle, Paul, because God has more battles for you to fight. You know, you can't go down in this battle because God has more for you to do. God's not, what, finished with you yet. Watch this. If you're not dead, you're not done. Simple as that, isn't it? If you're not dead, you're not done. He's telling these people, he's saying, look, everything's looking grim around us, but the angel of the Lord appeared to me. unfortunately for me, I'm going to stand trial. But he says, y'all are going to be fine. And simply just because I'm with you is why you're going to be fine. He says, so stop worrying. Stop fretting over this. The angel of the Lord was with him. Now, we see in another passage of Scripture, in the New Testament, where Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, and there's a storm that rages, and Jesus is below deck, and what we understand he's, what, sleeping or resting? And there's a storm raging, and everything's going around, calamity again all around him, all around them. A storm is raging. And what are they doing? They're panicking, and they didn't know what to do. They're unsure, and so they come down, they're waking him up, and they're like, do you not care about us? Do you not care what's happening around? Do you not see this? And what does he go? He just, peace. Everything calms down. When we have the presence of Jesus in our lives, you have more ammunition and power than you know. Why fret? Why become panicky? I love how Paul says it, and I say this over and over and over again, and I hope you don't get tired of it, but it's the truth. The Bible says what? Your existence here on this earth is what? A mere vapor to your eternal existence. What does that mean? The problems that I'm facing here are really minute, right? They're really small in the grand scheme of what my eternal existence is. And as a Christ follower, what is that? Eternally in heaven. Now, we see here, verse 25, he says, so keep up your courage, men. What is he saying? Keep your faith. Keep your faith in God. Keep up your courage. He goes on to say, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. In other words, my faith is not in what I see. My faith is in what God says. I have faith that God and what he says, what? That it will come to pass. I have faith in God that it will happen. I love it this way. My faith is not in the boat, but my faith is in the creator of the wood for the boat. Think about that statement. My faith is in the one who created the wind and the waves. My faith is in God. That we are to have faith in God that what he says will come to pass. What he says will what? It will happen. Who is God? The psalmist in 46 and 1. In Psalms 46, 1 through 3 says it this way. I'm closing out here. God is our shelter. Right? God is our shelter. In the middle of our storm, he's our hiding place. He's our safety. He's our strength. But he goes, God is our shelter, always ready to help in times of trouble. Who is he? He is Emmanuel. What is that defined as? He is God with us. Goes on to say that we will not be afraid even if the earth is shaken and the mountains fall into the ocean depths. Even if the seas roar in rage and the hills are shaken by violence. We can say it this way. Even if I lost my job. Even if relationships were to fall apart. Even if the finances and the economy are shaky. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because he's with me. Because the scripture tells us that he will never leave me and that he will never, what? Forsake me. Because why? He's all that I need. He's my safety. He's my strength. He's our comforter. He is our source. He is our redeemer. He's righteous. He's a friend that the scripture says that what? Sticks closer than a brother. He is a rock. He is the living bread of life. He's the living water that satisfies our soul. He's the gate through which I enter. He is the guide who directs my step. He is my comfort that ministers to me in the time of need. Jesus is this. He's my peace. Peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. He is with me. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want you to understand. Can we go back to that first scripture in Matthew, please? It says, look, the virgin will what? Conceive a child, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. True peace is found in the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. My faith is not in what I see, but my faith is in my God. Knowing that what? It will happen. The storm will not take me down, and I will be at peace, understanding that God is with you. So all of that means nothing. Understand that. Everything I said means absolutely nothing if you don't know who this Jesus is. The Bible tells us, John 16:33, Jesus said it himself. Look, just because you're a Christ follower doesn't mean you're not going to go through trouble. Because look, he says, in this life there's going to be troubles. But take comfort, because I've overcome the world. You're going to go through seasons. You're going to go through difficulties. You're going to go through the valleys, the wilderness, and the storms. It's a guarantee. You're going to be in them. But what is also a guarantee is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's the peace that calms the storm. He is salvation. He is love. He is righteous. He is your redeemer. He is your what? Your ever-present way in a time of trouble, in your storms. He is. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask this question. And it couldn't be any better of a Christmas season than without, if you don't receive this free gift today. And that is this: if you don't know who Jesus Christ is as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you this morning, if you want to make him the king of your life, if you want to commit that life to him today, I just want you to slip up your hand right now. I see that hand. If you want to make that commitment this Christmas season, this Christmas Sunday today, you will say, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that one. That is fantastic. You can put those hands down. Here's what I want us to do as a body, as a church this morning. I want us to pray this together, enthusiastically and boldly. Here we go. Lord Jesus, today, this Christmas Sunday, I give my life to you. Enter into my heart, enter into my soul. Forgive me of my sins, cleanse me, Lord. I invite you to be my King, my Lord, my Master, and my Savior. Today, I live for you. From now on, my life, my very being will be committed to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, amen. There's nothing like that moment. You know, I sit there and I think, what in the world just happened in heaven right now? Lives being brought into the kingdom of God. Amen. But you know what? We're not done, because look, as we said, we're not promised not to have trouble. We're promised to have trouble in life. You're going to go through valleys. You're going to go through wildernesses. You're going to go through storms. For us as a Christ follower, we need to be continually reminded that he is what? Emmanuel, God with us. So as you're in these troubled times, know that he is God with you. You're in this Christmas season. You're going to be doing whole kinds of things from this afternoon on. Know that he is still God with you. Don't get caught up in environments that you don't need to be caught up in. He's God with you. But some of you have been going through seasons. You've been going through troubles. You've been going through the things that I've talked about: relational problems, financial problems, spiritual problems. I get it. I know. But know this: he's God with you. So I want to end with this prayer today corporately, because normally I would say, if you're going through that, throw up your hand. Look, you're either in one, you've come out of one, or you're about to go into one. It covers us all. Let's pray. Father, today we are your people. We are your church. We are your bride. And Father, we ask, I ask as the pastor of this great church, let us not forget that you are God with us. Jesus, you are Emmanuel. And we celebrate you this Christmas season. Not so much of what we're getting from people and parties, get-togethers, and programs. We're celebrating your birth, which truly is the birth of our salvation. And we thank you for that, Lord. So God, help us through these storms, valleys, and wildernesses that we experience in life. Help us to keep our focus. Lord, you're not done with us. If we're still living and breathing, God, you are still fulfilling promise and you are still moving. So God, continue to move. Let us be as David was. Lord, you are a shepherd. We shall not want. We love you, Father, as we leave this place. The words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen, amen, amen. Merry Christmas. We will see you tomorrow night, 6 p.m.